Welcome to another episode of the Sages series. These episodes shine a spotlight on women over 60 who have so much wisdom to share. In a culture obsessed with anti-aging, these episodes are pro-aging. Not only a privilege denied to many, growing older is good. In fact, it seems to be a time and place where many women truly begin to thrive. With so many of society's gatekeepers left behind, women really begin to explore their lives and spread their wings when they're older. And I aim to listen. We'll never know how many women's stories have been lost forever. In these episodes, we're changing that. Welcome to Full Spirals, a podcast where we tell the stories of belonging to this big human family and honor the raw human connections the arts consistently facilitate. It's about how life can take you for a spin, but still leave you grounded. We learn about hope and healing through the arts and the many ways creativity can lead you right back to yourself. We're so happy to have you along for the ride. I'm Stacey Parrish. When I think of the word dynamo, I immediately think of my guest today, Denise Medved. At 71, Denise sparkles so completely that you can even hear it in today's interview. Seriously, listen for her jingling bling. It is just delightful. Denise is an author, speaker, creator, and founder of the Ageless Grace Brain Health Program, a preventative, restorative, and developmental practice focusing on cognitive function for people of all ages, but particularly active older adults for whom memory and brain function has begun to top their list of health concerns. Hard relate. A self-proclaimed brain nerd, she graduated from the Neuroscience Academy in Sydney, Australia, and studied gerontology in a graduate program at Western North Carolina University. Her TED Talk is titled, Changing Your Brain Can Be as Simple as Child's Play, and she's led tens of thousands of students at prestigious institutions such as Harvard Medical School and the International Council on Active Aging. I met Denise in 2008 while she was beta testing what is now her world-renowned Ageless Grace program, and I credit her as the person who led me to discover that it is truly safe to inhabit my own body and how to really sense embodiment. I trained with Denise in 2009 to become an Ageless Grace educator and have been helping to carry out the mission of this work since then, now teaching weekly Ageless Grace classes right here in the Fox Cities. Please enjoy this wonderfully informative chat on the benefits of social connection, music, laughter, and play in keeping our brains healthy and functioning well.
Well, hello. It's good to see you.
Hello. It's good to see you too. Long time no see.
I know. It's been a long time. I was thinking about that today. I think it was when you came down here for the meditation with Dr. Mahapatra.
Mm-hmm. That was life-changing for me. I still use the mantra that he gave me, and yes. I still meditate. I'm, you know, like most people, not as regular as I should be, but
I don't do it all the time, but I do it.
Uh-huh. Well, two of the main themes here on Full Spirals are one is hope and healing through the arts, and the other is how one life can touch so many lives. And I feel like the work that you're doing touches on both of those.
I think it does. Yeah, I think it does. And, you know, we have 3,600 active educators now, and we're in 33 countries and 50 states. So each person is touching a lot of lives.
I was just going to ask, can you tell me a little bit about what Ageless Grace actually is?
Yes, it's 21 different tools. That's what we call them. They're actually exercises, but they're called tools because they are tools for you to use to change your brain's form and function. And so they are physical movements, and they each have really playful, silly, ridiculous names so that you can remember them. Like if I were to say, oh, let's do the spinal lateral flexion one, everybody's going to be going, what? Like, what's spinal lateral flexion? You know. But if I say, let's all do spaghetti spine, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. So they have silly names that are easy to remember, and they have two purposes. First of all, each one of the 21 tools or exercises activates the five primary functions of the brain. But second of all, each one has sort of a focus or something that we put our attention on while we're doing it that is a physical skill that we need to have optimal function during the rest of our lives. So it's both working the brain and the five functions of the brain and the physical body with skills we need to have lifelong optimal health. And again, we're not trying to get you to be a bodybuilder, and we're not trying to get you to be a ballerina or an ice skater. It's not those kinds of skills, but it's the kinds of skills that cause you to have flexibility and cause you to be able to do cross motor activities and bend down and pick something up out of the floor and all those types of things. It gives you quality of life mentally and physically.
Can you tell me just a couple more of the tools? Because I teach it, I know how fun they are and how novel they are. But can you share about a couple of the other tools?
Absolutely. I'm smiling as I say this because they make you laugh. And
they do.
And of course, this actually is intentional, believe it or not, because as I did research and study, we found out that socialization, being in a group, is key to brain health. One of the things. Music is key to brain health. Mm-hmm. Laughter is key to brain health. So there's so many things that the movements and the tools are obvious, but not as obvious are the fact that we are in a group when we do it, either in person or on Zoom. We're laughing and having a good time, and it's a true belly laugh, and mm-hmm. we're socializing with other people, and we're doing it to music so that it's playful and fun and upbeat, and all of those things are helping your brain. So some of the tools, I'm not going to go through all 21, but just a few of them are mm-hmm. things like zoology, which of course in real life, you pronounce that zoology, but we call it zoo hyphenology, because it's moving and acting as if you are all kinds of different animals.
Yes.
And it's totally silly and ridiculous and so much fun. And not only does it work the brain, it causes you to improve your systemic movement, which means you're activating your systems of the body. There are nine, but what I mean by that is respiratory, circulatory, all the different systems, endocrine, lymphatic, all those different systems are activated, particularly when you're doing that tool. Now, another tool that I love is called Spelling Bee, and it's spelling, and then it's quotes, the letter B quotes, and the B stands for body, because we spell words in upper and lowercase cursive, in capital letters, one letter at a time, the whole word at a time, multiple words with our nose, our elbow, our other elbow, our knee, our belly button, our all these different things. So it's hysterically funny while you're mm-hmm. doing it. One more, which is just fun, is called Gentle Geometry. And of course, geometry has a lot to do with shapes, like angles and triangles and circles and lines. So literally, we are using one part of the body, let's say the right hand, to draw a circle in the air, while we're using another body part, let's say the left leg, to draw a triangle, while we're using the nose to draw a horizontal line. Now, just even talking about that makes me laugh, because it's impossible, you know. And so it's lots of laughter, but the brain is really stimulating, firing new neurons, because you're mm-hmm. doing something that you not only don't know how to do, you can't do it. So your brain is just very focused on, can I make this happen? Right hand circle, left leg triangle, nose line. And of course, different body parts can do different things. You don't repeat the same thing every time. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line of all these tools is that they are different every time you do it, and they're spontaneous. This is not choreographed. Mm-hmm. It's not like you say, we always do a circle with the right hand, we always do a triangle with the left foot. No. The next day when we do class, I might draw a triangle with my nose, and I mm-hmm. might try to draw a circle with my belly button at the same time. So it's constantly stimulating not only the brain's functions, but specifically the imagination. Dr. Norman Doidge, who wrote the book, The Brain That Changes Itself, which was a bestseller, and it's very interesting. I highly recommend it. It's more in lay language, so it's not just like you're reading, you know, science papers. Mm-hmm. And he did thousands of MRIs on brains and discovered that using your imagination or actually doing the activity. So pretending you're playing tennis and actually playing tennis light up almost all the same parts of the brain. So what we do the whole time we're doing Ageless Grace, as you know, Stacey, is we're imagining, that we're a zebra in South Africa. We're imagining that we are playing tennis while we're sitting in a chair. We're imagining that we're using a rake and raking the leaves out of the lawn. All of it is stimulating that imagination and lighting up the brain as well as moving at the same time.
And what I love about it, I love so much about it. I love so much about teaching it. I love watching it. But because those tools tap into neuroplasticity, because they're novel, it is preventative, restorative, and developmental.
Absolutely. The one thing that commonly happens in Ageless Grace classes, either live in person, like with you, or on Zoom, is that a lot of older people are very interested in it because they'll say, "Oh, I need this. I'm noticing I'm forgetting things, or I don't, my brain's not quite as quick and sharp as it was." But I would love to send the message out to everybody listening that this is for children. This is for people who want to prevent, as you mentioned, to restore a sharp brain, a healthy brain, and it will help people who are over 55 or 65 or 105. At the same time, it will cause children and younger people to have a healthy brain all their lives because they're starting early and working on it. They're continually firing neurons, and it isn't hard. It's easy and it's fun and it's simple, and anyone can do it at home. It's more fun to go to a class like Stacy's class because you're with a group of people and you're all laughing hysterically and attempting to do that. So it's much more fun to do it as a social event, as and I think of it as a social event more than an exercise class, even though
Oh
it's
my
both.
gosh, yeah.
But you can do it at home, and ideally, actually, if they're coming to a class once a week, the perfect situation is to do it 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day, all the other days of the week, so that you're keeping those neurons firing and you're keeping your brain at a highly functional, sharp level. And you're not just waiting for the next Friday to roll around for your next class.
Speaking of the brain and all of your brain geek stuff, can you explain the five functions of the brain, please?
Yes. And most people will recognize these. There are some long names on them if you look on the internet, lots of complicated words and descriptions. And there are multiple descriptions, but basically the same five functions. So, what we've done, again, to make it easy for everybody, is we've created an acronym. And the acronym is SMACK, SMACK, which is the sound of a neuron firing, which is what we want to do. And they stand for strategic planning. And as that relates to movement, which stimulates the brain, strategic planning means how do I organize my body to get out of a chair and stand up, get from point A to B to C to D? How do I organize my body to walk across the room and pick something up and take it back to the other side of the room? That is strategic planning. Your brain does it all the time. But what we tend to do is the same kinds of things over and over again. We walk from our car through the garage door into the kitchen. We set our keys down here. And so the brain doesn't even have to think about strategically planning that. It knows how to do it. You've done it a thousand times. But the minute we get you to pretend that you're doing something different or get you to come through your house to the front door and go upstairs first and then come down to the kitchen, like those simple things cause strategic planning to take place.
I think we've all had that experience where you drive home, you get home, and you don't remember the drive. Like you
Yeah.
just haven't even thought about it.
Exactly, because you know how to do it so well. Your brain is on automatic pilot, and an automatic pilot is not good. And I don't mean it's not healthy or safe. I mean that it's not challenging your brain. And so even though you think, "Oh, I get out and drive every day, my brain should be strong and healthy." No, not if you do the same thing every time. So the second part of that acronym is M, and it stands for memory and recall, and it's actually a two-part function. Memory, and again, in relationship to physical movement, which stimulates the brain, is remembering a physical experience that you have had. If people think about it, every single memory that we have is physical. If you remember the smell of strawberry soap in your Aunt Ruthie's house, what you're actually remembering is walking down the hall, walking into her bathroom, and smelling that soap. You're not just remembering the smell of strawberry. You're actually remembering a physical experience. But now the second part of that, memory and recall, could mean that you've never even had the physical experience, but you're remembering what you know about it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I always use this because it's pretty common to most people. If I said to you, pretend you're playing a trombone, almost everyone would raise their hands, know it has a slide, put it toward their mouth, yes, and say, oh, I think I know this. And then if I say to people, if you have ever played the trombone before, raise your hand, and nobody in the room has, or one person has. So they're recalling what they know about that physical activity of playing a trombone. Mm-hmm. The third one is called analytical thinking. And analytical thinking, again, always related to movement, which affects the brain, is understanding and knowing all the parts of a movement or activity. A more complex one would be playing a game. Let's say the game of baseball. The minute someone says to me, hey, you want to come outside and play baseball? My brain immediately is going like, oh, bat, pitch, field, catch, throw, cheer, slide in, home run. It's thinking of all the parts of that activity. It's getting my body ready to be able to do that. Whether I'm good at it or not, it doesn't matter if you're good at it. And then the next one is C, which is creativity and imagination. And most people immediately think of that as like being creative, like you're a wonderful cook and you can put recipes together, or you're an artist and you can paint, or a photographer. And all that is creativity, and it is physical, by the way. Mm-hmm. However, creativity literally, according to the brain, is anything that is a little different or unusual that you don't normally do. So if I brush my teeth with my right hand and I switch to the left hand and do it, the brain goes, oh, wow, we're doing something that she doesn't usually do. That's interesting. And of course, it's awkward because the brain doesn't really know how to do that. Just like if I said, I'm going to start to learn to paint. Well, guess what? My first one would be pretty awkward, you know. And then it's two parts, kind of like memory and recall. It's creativity and imagination. And I've already told you that Dr. Norman Doidge and now many other researchers have discovered that imagination, imagining a physical activity and doing it, light up almost all the same parts of the brain. So literally, when we are playing with the tools of ageless grace, for example, and we're imagining that we're running down the beach, I mean, immediately I say that, I know that everybody listening is imagining themselves running down the beach. You can't help it. It's automatic. Yeah. And of course, I might be on Myrtle Beach and you might be on the beach in California and somebody else might be on the beach in Florida. So we're seeing different scenery in our minds. We're seeing different kinds of sand, but yet we're doing this motion. So we're lighting up the imagination and firing neurons to do that too. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the last one's K, and that stands for kinesthetic movement. And what's interesting about that particular one is that's actually how we learned physical movement from the time we were born up until usually like teens or even late teens, meaning that we learned it, we practiced it, we figured it out with our bodies first. We didn't take a course. We didn't read a book to learn how to walk or how to throw a ball or how to ride a bike, but we just tried it. And then the brain kicked in and it said, oh, I bet if you get on that bicycle again, I can help you be better at it this time. So that's SMACK, the five functions of the brain.
You talked a lot about physicality, about the body, about somatic healing. How did you stumble across that being the key component when you started developing Ageless Grace?
So my gut instinct was that movement had something to do with the brain. Then later on in my 7 years of initial research, I actually read like, oh yeah, movement's the best exercise for the brain. Physical movement makes sense to me because the brain controls everything we do. Mm-hmm. They've actually determined that the primary function of the brain is to control movement of the body. It can imagine, I don't know, a retirement plan. It can't do amazing mathematics and numbers and formulas. It can do all these things, but its primary purpose is to control the movement of the body. So when you move, you are affecting the brain. You just are, whether you think about it or not. And of course, I did during my research, during that 7 years, we also did pilot programs. And it's almost a funny story how what I thought we were going to do for Ageless Grace changed over that 7 years. Because, you know, I thought we were going to stand up and move, and I thought all these things. And I found out that if you sit down and then we ask you to pretend you're playing tennis, that instantaneously your brain says, and how would I do that from a chair or from a seated position? So the sitting down has nothing to do with whether you're frail or have poor balance or whether you're in a wheelchair or whether you have some issue that keeps you from standing up. It is required of everyone who does Ageless Grace, whether you're 7 or 107, because sitting down and asking you those things immediately engages the brain and the imagination.
There was a difference between the way your father lived his life and the way your mother lived her life. And that was something that you noticed as far as using the physical component as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was key. And that's one of the things that made me believe that physical movement must have something to do with the brain. My mom was a brainiac. She studied. She taught the piano. She taught courses. She was a teacher. She played the piano in church for 63 years. She was doing crossword puzzles and doing word games. She loved it. She hated to do any kind of exercise. And she never did. And she struggled with obesity all of her life. It was a common thread that ran through her life from her 20s all the way until she died of Alzheimer's. And so I knew when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's that her lack of movement must have something to do with her ability to have even gotten Alzheimer's, because she did everything else that they were saying at that time that you should do to have a sharp brain. Now, my dad was an artist, which you would think of as a fairly sedentary job. I mean, he did artwork all day long for a living. However, he spoke English as a second language, and he didn't like to read. He didn't like to sit still and study, but he loved to move. He loved gymnastics. He loved bodybuilding. He loved weightlifting. If he could run someplace instead of walk, he was in heaven. He loved to use his body all the time. And even as a child, when I was a child, he would say things to me like, hey, let's see if we can hop up the steps on both legs at the same time. Hey, let's see if we can jump up on this wall. He loved using his body. Well, guess what? He lived his entire life sharp as a tack with no cognitive decline, even though he almost never read, and even though he didn't do word games and didn't do puzzles, and even though his work was fairly sedentary. Obviously, he was using his arms and things like that in his imagination. But the minute he stopped painting or doing whatever he was doing or sculpting, he would like go outside. He'd say, I have to go outside and move. And this is just a funny aside. Because he loved to sculpt his own body, because he was a sculptor in his work life, he decided he could sculpt his body by lifting weights, and no kidding, he became Mr. Tennessee, Mr. Wisconsin, Mr. Dixie, because he was after they immigrated to the United States, he grew up in Milwaukee. Mr. Wisconsin, Mr. Tennessee, Mr. Dixie, then he was best back in abdominals and Mr. America and in Mr. Universe. And that was just from his hobby, his fun time of working with his body.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing.
It was.
What's your favorite part about Ageless Grace? I mean, it must have been such a journey.
Oh, a long journey. Because after I did the first 7 years of research, you know, the program had come together. I knew it was 21 tools. I knew what we were doing. I knew what, you know, all of the benefits were physically and mentally. But I continued research even though I launched the program and started teaching it and started training others to teach it, who we call Ageless Grace educators. And that's, of course, what you are, Stacy. But as I did that, I realized that brain research was moving so rapidly that I needed to continue to do research. So we require all of our educators to be recertified every year, just for 3.5 hours. The initial accreditation is 14 hours, but just 3.5 hours to recertify, to talk about anything new or different or what's might be going on that's different. And interestingly enough, after that first 10 to 12 years of research, they are finding new things out about the brain all the time. However, what they're doing is supporting what we already knew. They're finding out, yes, physical movement, you've got to do it. Yes, doing it every day is really important. Yes, socialization is important. They're finding out everything that supports exactly what we do in this program. So I did another 5 years of concerted, intentional effort on research. And then now I just am a, I'm just a brain nerd. if there's a seminar, a talk, or a YouTube or a TED talk about the brain, of course, I'm going to watch, listen, participate, because it's fascinating to me. But that first 7 years and then five more years of information is really what shaped the program of Ageless Grace most.
How many classes do you teach a week?
I teach 5 classes now, and that's the least amount of classes that I've ever taught. I've taught as many as 16 classes a week, and most of them are 45 minutes to an hour long, but it's a joy. I will say this, and I bet you can say the same thing. I thought that it was for mostly everybody else, not for me. Isn't that what an attitude, right? As I've been doing this, though, the last 12, 13 years, I have noticed that I am more flexible. I have greater ability to start and stop. My brain is quicker, sharper. My imagination literally boggles my mind, because I thought, well, after a year or two, I'm going to have to start repeating some of the things that I do in the tools. And I'm always amazed, like, oh, that's a new idea. I've never done that before. It's shocking how it stimulates the person who's teaching the class as well, the brain and the physical movement. And you start to see incredible changes in yourself. I feel, and I don't know about you, but maybe you do, I feel like I'm getting younger all the time. I don't feel like I'm getting older all the time. One of the things that causes us to perceive someone is old or young or youthful or more decrepit is the way they move. You may not realize it. You may think, oh, look at their face. They have a lot of wrinkles. No, that's not it. Or look at their face. They don't have a lot of wrinkles. But if they move like an older person, or they shuffle, or they round their back, or they move slowly, or they move with hesitation, even though they might, their face might look 20, you think, oh, wow, you know, that person is old, so to speak. And then on the other hand, you can see someone who has lots of wrinkles and doesn't use night cream and doesn't use anti-aging vitamins, but they have a spring in their step and they smile and their face is mobile and not, you know, semi-frozen, and their eyes are alive and open, and you think, what a youthful young person. And you may find out that they're really 75 or 80 or older because of the way they move.
Yeah, I have lots of stories myself of people who have restored health while taking Ageless Grace classes. One off the top of my head, she had a stroke when she was in her 50s, and through doing Ageless Grace, regained the use of her left side.
Wow.
Do you have a favorite story?
I have a lot of stories, but similar to that, I've had people, strokes seem to be particularly affected by this, but also people who've said, I've started really forgetting things and I get confused sometimes. And they've all told me, like, oh my goodness, fairly quickly, not over years, but usually over weeks, they say, I've seen a difference in the way my brain is working. I've seen a difference in the way my body parts are moving. Because remind yourself again, you think, well, how can a damaged arm or leg on the left side be healed if physical therapy didn't do that in the first place? Well, because you're really stimulating the brain and you're helping create new neurons. You're helping create new neural pathways that allow messages to travel back and forth between the brain and that left side of your body, for example. And so you are rapidly building ways for that left side of the body to start to communicate again with the brain and to receive messages from the brain. And this is my prediction, and you heard it here on Stacy's podcast, that eventually physical therapy of all kinds, whether it's for a thumb that needs rehabilitation or whether it's for a post-stroke or whatever it might be, a fall, an injury, is going to start to have more and more and more to do with brain and brain exercises, because the brain is what tells that body to heal. The brain is what sends dopamine to that part of the body. The brain is what releases hormones and proteins. The brain is what dictates emotions. The brain tells the muscles how to move, or the ligaments or the tendons. And so, yes, you can repeat that activity over, but when you consciously say, I'm going to use my brain to heal that thumb, guess what? It heals much more quickly.
My favorite part, I think by far, is the humor and the lightheartedness, because if it's not fun, we're not going to do it.
Right on. You have hit the nail on the head. Part of the reason this is so spontaneous and playful, well, the main part is to stimulate the brain, but the main benefit of that is, like you say, the truth is most people do not like to exercise. And most people, I'm going to put this in quotes with my fingers, fail at exercise. They start a new dance class, they never finish it. They start a new exercise program, they stop after 6 weeks. They start something like, oh, I'm going to learn line dancing, they quit. I mean, all of those kinds of things. And yes, there are exceptions, but in general, we don't really like to exercise for a lot of reasons. So the other benefit of this is that it's fun. Like you say, I can go from a grumpy morning where everything went wrong into an ageless grace class, and I will come out laughing and smiling.
Absolutely. Because you're surfing, you're on your paddleboard, and then you're chewing gum with your belly button. I mean, just about every class I say, bet you didn't know you were going to do this today.
Exactly. And it's just a good time. It's wonderful for your spirit. And it's wonderful for your daily attitude. And of course, not to get too nerdy, but all that goes back to the brain.
Yeah.
What causes us to have a good attitude or be positive about life, what causes us to feel happy, is hormones and proteins released from the brain. So guess what? Surprise, surprise. The brain is the boss, whether we like to believe it or not. It is the boss.
Well, that's a nice way to wrap up. The brain's the boss, baby.
It is. The brain is the boss of us, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't thank you enough for sharing your wisdom and your baby. I mean, you created this, and I hope you're super proud of that.
I am super proud of it. And at the same time, I'm very clear that the world was ready for it. We're in 50 states now being taught classes, and we're in 33 other countries. And that tells me not that I'm successful. It tells me, like, wow, everybody wanted this. Everybody knew they wanted to take care of their brains, and they just didn't know how.
Yeah. Well, you have another class to teach, don't you?
Yes.
Well, I will let you go, but I so appreciate your sitting down with me. And it was so good to see you. I haven't seen you in so long.
Oh, so good to see you too. Really a great joy and a pleasure to reconnect. So we've known each other a long time. Thank you, Stacy, so much for having me on.
You're welcome. Have a good class.
All righty. Bye-bye.
As Denise mentioned during our time together, Ageless Grace is more of a social event than a class, and you can learn more about the Ageless Grace program and how to participate locally in classes by using a link in the show notes. This episode was produced by Boom Arts in Appleton, Wisconsin, through a generous grant from the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley region. Theme music by Helen Avakian, additional music provided by Beth Kelly. If you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, and most importantly, share Full Spirals. Bring your friends and fam along for the ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your favorite listening platform. Because we really are all in this together. Till next time, take care.